We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us on a Wednesday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. That sound of the Mighty Mox, KMOX, 1120 in St. Louis. Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So we feel like we're in the sweet spot now for the most part. We got the PGA Tour back tomorrow. We've got a plan for the NHL to be back. We've got the NBA going to the bubble situation. I'm sorry, campus.
Campus.
Resort. However you want to parse the phrasing. And we have MLS back with an official plan as well.
Yes, we do.
So there's a lot to talk to. And for that plan for the MLS, we'll be delighted to join by Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, who joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Don, thanks for being with us this morning. So how close to the precipice were we before we decided, hey, we're good and we're ready to roll here?
Well, you know, I think all of us, I think the entire industry has been on the precipice for many months now, just trying to do what we can to start by keeping people safe and managing our business, and then for the last couple of months coming up with return to play plans. And we've been working with Disney for months, guys, trying to come up with our version of a World Cup type tournament, doing it in a safe environment, bringing down what will be well over 1,000 people. And I know the NBA will be down there at a similar time. And I think both of us were doing what we could to ensure we had the right facilities, the right testing, the right format, and then ultimately getting our players on board so we can get them back on the field.
So, Don, we know you've been working on it for a while, so lay it out for us, where the players are staying, what the tournament is going to be, the testing. Give us the process.
You know, if you guys remember the World Cup back in 94, there was a 24-team World Cup, and obviously it's gotten a lot bigger. But that format would be, our format's identical, 54 games. All 26 of our teams will be down there. They'll be staying in the Swan and Dolphin Hotels, which is on the Disney property. They'll be playing their games on the soccer fields at the ESPN Wide World of Sports. We'll start with group matches, no different than a World Cup tournament. Each club will play three of them. They'll count to the regular season. Those winners go into a round of 16 and then a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. And we'll have prize money up to $1 million for our clubs that go through the round. So they'll be playing for some money, as well as what we call a Champions League spot in a regional tournament that FIFA runs here in this region. So a very meaningful tournament. And then hopefully when this is tournament is over in mid-August, our clubs will be able to get back into their markets. And to the extent that we're permitted by local authorities, we can get back into our stadiums and play.
And so from that side, we've got the play portion of this set up. As you mentioned, the first, you know, real trial and all this is to keep people safe. So as far as testing and the protocol when it comes to health and safety, now that you guys are going to be down in Orlando, what is that going to look like when you mentioned that 1,000-plus people get down and going to be a part of this in Disney?
You know, this is where all the work was done. You know, you have people, and you guys will get a kick out of this. You have people in our league that, while, you know, we have a chief medical officer, most of them were not specialists in infectious diseases and not dealing with the Dr. Fauci's of the world and others who have to advise leagues now on what they need to do to go through testing protocols, both for these return to play plans, but also when we get back into our market. So it's very specific. Players and staff get tested before they leave for Orlando. They will get tested regularly when they're down there. Staff and players will be tested throughout the tournament. If a player tests positive, then that player is taken out of the bubble, if you will, and is removed from the tournament. They'll go into quarantine. Those around them through contact tracing will be tested regularly, and whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic. And that's kind of going to be the world that we're going to be living in for quite some time. So very significant, lots of sanitary activities that will take place with those that are going to be managing operations. They'll be people will be required to wear masks and protective gear when they're in and around the environment. But, hey, guys, you know, they're going to be down there for, you know, 45, 50 days. And as part of that, you know, they'll have activities. They'll be able to use pools. They'll be able to use restaurants. There won't be any Disney guests in the Swan and Dolphin. There'll be no fans in attendance. So we're going to have this whole tournament locked down pretty tight to ensure that these players and then the staff around them will be safe and healthy.
MLS Commissioner Don Garber with us this morning, unveiling the plans for the MLS to return at Disney World, and not only the procedures to play, but the health procedures for everybody else that's going to be involved. Don, 2020's been a hell of a year already. We're not even halfway through it. We've been dealing with a global pandemic. And then, of course, there's been so much unrest over the last 2 weeks in this country, which has spread internationally and globally in the wake of the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer. And the idea of peaceful protests and what that means and how significant they are has been in the forefront of so many conversations in the intersection of sports and real life. You guys recently made a decision to not address or change your policy, which allows players to have that peaceful protest. Tell us about the decision-making that went through that.
Well, you know, it started, and I appreciate the question, you know, it started a couple of years ago when this issue rose in our sport. And, you know, we spent time with our owners and we spent time with our players and came up with a rule, if you will, that, you know, players have the right to express their free speech on our fields. And we were not going to restrict whatever they wanted to do during the national anthem. And then obviously that now has come to light as we've been asked questions. How are we going to react to what types of protests players will decide to do prior to MLS games? And my view really hasn't changed there. You know, you'd like it to be something that can represent players' right to free speech. And I think all of us in the sports industry are dealing with new ground. You've seen the displays of protests prior to games in Germany and the Bundesliga, where players were around the center circle and they kneeled and showed solidarity with folks here in the United States and making a strong statement against racism and inequality. And I expect that there's going to be similar displays of protests during sports events this year. We're supportive of it, and I'm hopeful that we could work with our player pool to ensure that it's a collective expression of standing against racism and inequality and injustice.
And in the overall sport, our own Taylor Twellman, a soccer player, now a soccer analyst for us, he has said he feels soccer worldwide, he's not talking about the MLS, but soccer worldwide is the most racist sport he thinks of all the sports. What did you think of those comments?
Well, you know, I saw that, and, you know, there is so much racism in our country, and it permeates throughout all aspects of our life and certainly through sport. There are so many things that go on in Europe, particularly in Eastern Europe, that are so abhorrent. They're absolutely disgusting. And FIFA and the governing bodies throughout Europe have been trying to address these groups of fans that are called ultras in many different leagues who do things that literally, if they happened in our country, those people would be arrested and likely incarcerated. And there's so much work that our sport globally needs to do to ensure that there is not only zero tolerance for expressions of hate in stadiums, but there are programs that they're creating to better educate and to invest in and provide the resources for both teams on the sporting level, but also work in the community to eliminate this incredible ignorance and the hatred that exists when groups of people come together in some stadiums. And I'm sure you've seen stories about it. It's hard to imagine here in the United States that something like that could happen with groups of fans like they are happening in some European stadiums. But I will say this. I know that the governing bodies are trying to do what they can to address it. I know the leagues are trying to do what they can to address it. I'm part of a group of leagues around the world that get together to talk about how we could improve the sport on and off the field. And this is a subject that is a regular discussion, but so much work needs to be done. It starts with awareness, and then it starts from there to, you know, coming up with programs and discipline, by the way, that could just eradicate this from our sport.
Absolutely. Pointing it out, denouncing it, and then creating meaningful, real, like you said, punishable change in a lot of this. As we talked to Major MLS Commissioner Don Garber with us here on Golic and Wingo, I'm curious, and I want to go back on the side of the planning that went into this to something you mentioned before. You guys are going to be down there, as will the NBA in a lot of this. How much planning with Commissioner Adam Silver, with the NBA, did you guys have to do as far as figuring out the resources, figuring out the logistics of that situation?
You know, I'll tell you, not a whole lot together. You know, I think, to be fair, you know, we started working on this way before the NBA was looking at Orlando. And our project is more complicated. They'll be in an environment where they can play games in an indoor arena, and we're going to be playing on dozens of outdoor fields. So as we were working on our outdoor plan at the Wide World of Sports, they were working on a number of different things, as Adam will probably tell you. And they were parallel discussions. And then very quickly we realized that we're both going to be there at the same time. And frankly, we're both so focused on our own plans that not a lot of integration took place between the NBA and Major League Soccer. Whatever integration was necessary was done by Disney, because Disney will need to manage the housing and feeding of two different leagues and 40 different professional sports teams, which is a massive undertaking. They'll be at a different resort than we will be, and we'll both sort of take care of our needs and work really closely with Disney. And you guys know the company very, very well. There is no better hospitality and operational excellence entity other than the Walt Disney World Company. So I've got great confidence in their ability to manage both leagues.
Well, we would certainly agree with that assessment.
Yes, we would.
As Don Garber, MLS commissioner, is with us. And you mentioned it, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. How much were you guys watching Bundesliga when they returned to Germany? Because, you know, soccer is not a social distancing sport. There's going to be contact, not as much as American football, but in football there's a lot of contact and grabbing and very close proximity of players. How much were you guys monitoring how Bundesliga came back, and was that used as a model for how you might be able to get this thing back and going?
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, they did a great job, and their commissioner, their president, a guy named Christian Seifert, was, you know, working very closely with the German government. Their sport is very connected in their communities, their states, and then has lots of support from the federal government. And they were able to work very, very closely on creating their protocols. And those protocols really became the protocols that I think a lot of leagues around the world are going to continue to adapt. It is very simple. You know, you've got to test your players and you've got to test your staff as much as possible. And if somebody gets COVID, you've got to remove them and you've got to test those people around them. And once we had availability and we're not taking tests away from the general public at a time when they were deeply needed and they were quite scarce, once you have access to testing, the protocols are fairly straightforward. We also been looking at what they've done on the field. I mean, they've had some really cool things that they've done to create a fan environment. Some of it has been, you know, cutouts in Dortmund of fans' faces, but they've done things with crowd noise. One comment I wanted to make, because ESPN has been so integral to this whole project, and they are the production arm for all of the games that we're going to produce, we will have some really innovative and really cool broadcast technologies. We'll have more cameras on these games than on a typical ESPN game. We're going to have more virtual signage and virtual technology that will allow us to test some of the things that we've been thinking about in our sport and in our league for many years. We're playing around with unique audio. We'll have more substitutions than in the past, so we're even investigating with different rule changes. We'll have more water breaks because we're playing down in Orlando where it'll be pretty warm. We'll have games at 9 o'clock in the morning and then not again until 7 o'clock at night, three games a day, every day for that 40-day period, which is just a mind-boggling number of games. So all of that is our sort of systems that we've been in discussion with the Bundesliga and now all the other European leagues are going to be launching within the next couple of weeks. We're all kind of working together.
Very cool.
And yeah, also, I just like saying the word Bundesliga.
I know.
But, it was a breakthrough for so many leagues.
Yeah,
it really
was. That's a legitimate
was.
Question. I know you just like saying the word
Bundesliga. Well, Don, we appreciate your time this morning. Congratulations on getting back, and we look forward to seeing how it all plays out. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care now.
Thanks, yeah. Don. Well, again, well thought out, well planned. And once it goes into practice, we'll see, you know, what other things may pop up. But listen, when Disney built the Wide World of Sports down there and that complex, that was, as we know, and it's been used tons for the youth.
Yeah.
You know, so many championships and tournaments have been held down there. Now, who would have thought, you know, here we go with the pros, NBA and soccer being down there using the facilities for so long.
I was truly amazed that there wasn't more collaboration between the two,
yeah,
or discussion just about anything involved in that he made the point. And I can understand why here. We were on this so far before the NBA,
yeah,
that we were,
yeah,
already doing a lot of this stuff, which I get it and is understandable, but just surprising that, especially considering they were probably going to face, outside of what he mentioned, the indoor-outdoor dynamic there, some pretty similar elements.
Well, not only that, but, you know, the idea of them sort of, I mean, they were on the brink, right? It wasn't too long. We were talking about a potential lockout.
And in all honesty, yeah, I don't know how close it actually was. It was more talk, but they had said if there wasn't a response by a certain time, the MLS would lock out the players. And we don't know how close it really got, because a lot of times that could be used as a threat. But again, we never thought any league would be bad enough or dumb enough to not work something out. And we're still wondering that about baseball.
I was about to say.
But soccer worked it out, looks like, incredibly well, and have a great plan laid out, you know, for the soccer to take place down in Orlando.
Yeah.
So,
Look, I'm looking forward to all of this playing out.
I'm sorry I'm confusing you. I'm just going to be straight up. My laptop's going to die, and I got to plug it in.
All right, okay. There you go. So no confusion there as we get going with these sports. Again, NBA going to be down in Orlando. MLS going to be down in Orlando. Baseball still trying to figure it out. And something that's going on in college that is not going to be figured out as quickly as baseball needs to be figured out. But we're getting more thoughts about name, image, and likeness, and what's going on.
Kind of getting the same old thoughts right
now. And we're getting it. It's now a couple of ADs. Actually, one was a former Notre Dame AD and Kevin White, now the AD at Duke. Another was a former associate AD at Notre Dame and now an AD at North Carolina, Bubba Cunningham, both basically talking about the unfair advantage that the NIL would bring upon schools if all of a sudden players were to be paid by outside entities for their services. And while, again, as I said, I know both these guys very, very well, but I completely disagree with them on this. This is about money and allocation of money. No money is coming from the schools. Money would be coming into the schools. Now some of the money would be coming to the players instead of the schools. And that, it seems, is the overriding issue.
It just seems so disingenuous. Well, I mean, the entire blue bloods of college football and college basketball have benefited from having an unfair advantage.
Well, the other thing is, yeah, the unfair recruiting advantage. I mean, again, yeah, it's been there already. So I'm not really sure what we're saying, how even it was to sit there and say how uneven it would be now.
Yeah, so here was Kevin White, and part of his statement said, along with my colleague and friend Bubba Cunningham, the University of North Carolina, I'm concerned about the potential complications attendant upon the actual implementation of the NIL legislation. How will it impact recruiting? Will it create a wide open marketplace in which institutions solicit business or boosters to offer ever-escalating endorsement deals to star high school quarterbacks or point guards? Will resources from equipment, apparel, and shoe companies be redirected to a relatively few individuals rather than being shared equally among the lesser known but no less valuable Olympic sports? How will it affect the locker room in which the vast majority of student athletes go uncompensated? These are a few of the questions for which we currently have no answers. So stopping there before we get to the last part of this, which is sort of an interesting kicker in this note, I look at this situation and I would say, my sister was a varsity swimmer at Notre Dame. I don't know if my sister got half the gear that I got when we were there at Notre Dame. I don't know if she got half of the things there that we were got, because at that point, while Kevin White says in this, and I believe him when he says no less valuable, the lesser known but no less valuable, well, they're not treated equally already.
Right now they're not. That's exactly right.
In all of those materials.
They work hard. They have the 20-hour a week thing. They work hard, sometimes harder. You've seen swim practices of swimmers and other sports as well. Those athletes work damn hard, but they're not treated the same. They're from scholarships all the way to apparel. Because, they're already not treated the same.
Because fans decided that.
Correct.
Because you pack 90,000 folks into a football stadium to watch what goes on there and bend over backwards to get March Madness on every TV you can find in a Buffalo Wild Wings, not the other way when it comes to the Olympic trials and things like that go on for swimming and a lot of these other sports.
Value is a very interesting word he used there, right? Because you at Duke and all these other schools have already chosen that you value college basketball and college football over these other sports because they generate more revenue. So don't pretend like that's not a thing already. And in every instance, you can guarantee when those prospective athletes are looking at Duke, Duke University will go out of their way to say, look at what we can do for you. Look at the value of coming to Duke University will do for you. So you play that card when it's to your advantage. I always find it so curious that it's suddenly a problem when it's for the advantage of the player and not the school.
By the way, go look at some of those apparel deals and tell me how a few extra kids making a few extra tens of thousands of dollars, even hundreds of thousands of dollars maybe, are going to affect the bottom lines of, out of some of those behemoths. Again, if we're talking about the Blue Bloods, who would have such an advantage, and I know we're up against it, but here's the last little kicker that really, this one kind of aggravated me a little bit because they referenced the student athlete advisor, the NCAA student athlete advisory committee, made up entirely of undergraduate athletes, has expressed their concern about the plethora of potential unintended consequences of permitting use of NIL. And part of this talked about at the end, it said right here in the statement, these are legitimate issues raised by the athletes themselves. This is their voice. It should be heard.
So let them be heard.
So now it should be heard.
Yeah.
Now because it agrees with you, it should be heard. Now it should be heard. Like it went from in these other parts of this convenient, that last part's insulting. And quite frankly, I hadn't noticed or digested that a lot until just a few minutes ago. That part is flat out insulting.
It's just so
to say that because now the voice agrees with you.
Now listen to him.
Now we're going to make sure that the voices of these student athletes are heard. When you had folks crying for how long about all these other things, now you want to stand up and say in your official statement that that voice should be heard. I'm sorry, that's insulting.
It's amazing the voice that was heard when all of a sudden there was a student athlete that said they went to bed hungry.
Yeah.
And it's shown a bad light on some of the schools and how quickly all of a sudden you can get some spread for your bagel.
Yeah.
Which you, by rule, you could not before, which is one of the dumbest things ever. But all of a sudden, a voice was heard in a negative way, and boy, they reacted. Now, like you said, though, in a positive way that fits their narrative. Oh, let's hear them all.
Yeah. There was a rule where said you could have a bagel, but you could not have cream cheese on the bagel. Yeah. That would be considered an extra benefit.
That was an actual rule.
That thing actually existed. And how many of these other sports are they sacrificing to make sure they can survive with college football and college
if
basketball?
If you want cream cheese, we're going to have to get rid of the gymnastics program.
I mean, come on. No one says it's going to be easy, but don't pretend like those competitive advantages don't already exist when they benefit you. It's only a problem when suddenly it might benefit the player. Coming up, why Bubba Wallace's focus has now shifted just beyond checkered flags.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Golic and Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
And we're delighted to be joined by our next guest, who has had a rather monumentous week and is looking forward to continuing that momentum going forward. We're joined by NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace. Bubba, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it. Safe to say there has been a lot that has gone on in your life in reaction to everything that's gone on in this country over the last 2 weeks, over the last few days. The moment of silence at the race in Atlanta, you standing up with a shirt that said, "I can't breathe," your fellow driver putting that video together at the behest of Jimmy Johnson about social inequality and social justice for people of color. How have you processed all of this?
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's been a lot, that's for sure. My girlfriend actually just walked out of the door to head out of town to visit some family, and she said, "Be sure to relax today and try to do that the best way you can." So I'm going to take her words for sure and definitely just take it step by step, because it's definitely been a lot, and I've consumed myself and my phone just kind of reading comments, and it's probably the wrong thing to do, but yeah. We always talk about this. We're trained to just read all the comments, good and bad, just to see what people are saying. So I may get off social media for the day and just focus in on the race, important race for us tonight.
Probably a good idea to do for you before a race, but certainly some of the things you have trying to get accomplished is going to keep you in the news and keep people asking you questions like we are, where you want to see the Confederate flag not around any NASCAR races. So before we even get to people running NASCAR, do you believe and have you heard from the other drivers that they have your support in this, or they're supporting you in this?
We had talked about this a couple of years ago to get rid of this flag, and it caused a huge uproar and it didn't really kind of follow through, I feel like. So I think now with everything going on, me making that statement and moving forward with that, I think it's definitely time for a change. And for us, I was always, I talked about how I was so kind of just, I wouldn't say blind to the fact, but just trying to stay focused on racing just because we weren't having good runs. But we've had a really good race, or really good season so far this year. And this has kind of opened my eye to be more vocal and kind of step up and take upon that leadership role, which comes with a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and that's fine. I've been through those situations before, and I'm learning how to manage those things. But I think this is something that definitely needs to happen, and necessarily what I was getting at, Sam, by not listening to it or not talking upon it, it was just focusing on, you know, my typical answer was, I don't really see the Confederate flags. I you know, obviously I do see them. They're flying high and inside the infields, and you read some of the comments of people won't come to races of African-American descent. They won't come to races simply because the Confederate flag is flying. And you look at that, it's like, okay, we are a very selfish nation. I feel like I'll take credit. I'm very selfish. But it's not about us. It's about other people. It's about coming together and treating your neighbors like they're your brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters in this world. So if it makes them feel uncomfortable, let's just take it down. Let's just get rid of it. No disrespect, but it's time to make people feel welcome. That's what we're fighting for. We don't feel welcomed in this world. The African-American community does not feel welcome. And I think we can help that by removing Confederate flags. If it bothers them, then let's make that change.
Talking to Bubba Wallace with us here on Golic and Wingo, do you think it's going to take support from a lot of the drivers that we saw in that video with you, that's going to take support from NASCAR and the brass, as you said, because this is something that's caused an uproar in the past?
Yeah, I think the NASCAR drivers are on board with it. We haven't had conversations. We're actually going to have a conversation later on today about the next steps, and I will definitely bring that up. But I feel like the NASCAR drivers and front office is behind it. Everybody knows inside the sport that it's time for a change. And like I said, this is kind of re-sparking a move that we had tried to make years ago to remove the flags. But now I think this is a crucial and pivotal time to follow through with it.
Bubba Wallace with us on Golic and Wingo, the lone African-American driver on NASCAR's Top Series. And Bubba, so much of this conversation that has really sparked so much protest and unrest in the country in the killing of George Floyd, now 2 weeks ago as he was laid to rest yesterday outside of Houston, Texas, has been about people needing to listen to someone else's point of view. As the lone driver of color in NASCAR's Top Series, how much pressure or burden do you feel on carrying that forward, and how significant is it for other people to stand with you?
Yeah, no, it means a lot to have, you know, other people's support for sure. The video that Jimmy's team and himself had, you know, kind of created and brought the initiative to us, and we followed through with it, that showed a lot of support, and that was really special. I reiterated my graciousness and thanked the drivers for participating, and still encourage all the other drivers that have been silent on the matter to step up. But again, we go back to, I know it's tough to speak on things that doesn't really involve you, but I think we all have a voice. We all have a platform that can be so powerful to all speak out on. So, yeah, I think we just keep the ball moving. We can't become stagnant with this. We have to come up with ways of creating inclusion and hearing people's point of views, like you said earlier. You know, I'm still learning on a lot of things. It's funny, everything that I say now, I'm kind of reading through Webster's dictionary to make sure, like, I'm educated on what that word really means and what I'm trying to say. It doesn't even matter if it's a three-letter word like and or but. I'm reading the definition to make sure it comes across the right way. So it's definitely been, you know, a stressful couple of days, couple of weeks, but it's all part of it. And, you know, I don't want that to come off as I can't handle it or anything. And I just I have to, you know, definitely focus a lot of attention on it, but also manage the attention that I need to focus on my career as well. So I'm learning as we go.
And I think you've shown a hell of an ability Absolutely. To manage that already over the course of this. You mentioned having a platform, though, and you certainly have a hell of a platform in that number 43 car. That carries some weight around the world in NASCAR, and certainly I'm curious, how excited are you about the car itself? We saw what's going to go into it. Obviously, everything that you've put on it, the blacked out version of this car, obviously, you know, all the decals all over it. Talk about what went into getting to kind of redesign the 43 car for this race and how much that means.
Yeah, we had an open slot for this race, and I believe it was going to be the Blue Emu sponsor, and we all know that debacle that went down throughout the quarantine break over a video game. So that kind of fell through, which is not a surprise there. So we had an opportunity to really make a change here and make a difference and make an impact. And it was so it's an unsold race. No money's coming in, and it was like, well, why not do a blackout car? And it's just kind of, we talked about it on Blackout Tuesday, and so it was like, why not do a blackout car? I think that would be pretty cool. And I was like, okay. We were talking with the marketing team at the race team there, and I was like, was there any organizations that we could do? And I'm like, let's just throw Black Lives Matter on there and push that message across and get it on national television and just keep pushing the narrative on that to hopefully get people to understand. And some people still don't, you know, it's frustrating, but it's understandable how people that don't understand the Black Lives Matter movement get frustrated and pissed off and tired of hearing it. But it's simply saying Black Lives Matter too. Black Lives Matter just as much as yours. But people are thinking that we are saying Black Lives is the only one that matter. No other race matters, and that's not, because we all matter, but Black Lives matter too. So we're trying to get that message across.
Bubba Wallace with us. Thank you. We're running up against the clock, but I did want to ask you this. The protest last week and the moment of silence and the race this week, Black Lives Matters, these will be races without any fans in the stands. What are your expectations and what the reaction might be when those fans do return to the stands?
You know, I've been actually thinking about that. It's a great question. I'm pumped for the fans to come back just to see their reaction. If I gain a ton of boos, that's fine. If I gain a ton of cheers, that's fine as well. It's even better. So it's not going to make me or break me of who I am and what I stand up for. I knew going into this, everybody everybody's going to have their opinion against me, good and bad. And I've always said, to be successful in this sport, you gotta be able to manage the highs and lows. You gotta be able to accept defeat. And although this isn't defeat of gaining or losing fans, it's that pressure that you have to be able to overcome and not let that steer you away from your end goal and winning races, winning championships. So it's just another day in the life of Bubba Wallace. We'll keep on trucking.
There you go. Hey, absolutely. Bubba, we appreciate the time this morning. Now, quit doing interviews. Put down your phone and go relax, okay?
All right. Stop calling me.
Thanks, Bubba.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Yeah, we did have a lighthearted teaching moment here this morning as I tried to teach Trey how to say real world road rules.
Oh,
you put it in my head. You made it difficult now.
That's the wisdom jinx right there.
I love the fact that I just immediately default my base setting, which is blaming you guys for ruining what I just said.
Announcer jinx. It was the announcer jinx.
I was going to say the announcer jinx about the announcer. Go figure. Golden Wingo's brought to you by AutoZone. Need a part for your car and need it fast? AutoZone has more ways for you to get it however you want it. Like free next day delivery or free same day pickup in store or curbside. The choice is up to you. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
A couple of cool NFL stories. One real quick. We want to get to what Mohamed Sanu is doing, but really quick, Rob Gronkowski and what he and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. May 16th, there was a fire at Blake High School in Tampa that destroyed an athletic storage shed filled with nearly all the school's football equipment, including pads, field markers, and all of that. It was about $11,000 worth of damage. And between Gronk's foundation and the Buccaneers foundation, they covered the whole expense. They're taking care of everything for that high school. So very, very cool by Rob to get that thing going and for Tampa Bay to jump in. So that was one cool NFL story.
By the way, real quickly, I didn't think, was Gronk one of the players drafted in the redraft of those four things?
No.
I wasn't sure
he was.
No,
I mean,
I wouldn't.
If you spent a top four round pick on Rob Gronkowski just coming back in off slinging CBD, you probably need to reevaluate the way you're looking at the position.
Again, somebody took a kicker.
Well, you know what? But like, did anyone, like, the more interesting one to me was, did anyone take Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Okay. He went the second round.
He was the second tight end taken.
Yeah.
All right. I was making sure because we saw only Kittle was taken in the first round. We had one offensive tackle, one tight end, and one defensive back. The rest were all doubled up besides running back as well. So,
I mean, I can't fault the kicker they took. They took Justin Tucker, who was automatic.
He is a weapon.
He is a weapon, but I'm not sure in four picks I'm taking a kicker.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
Not a chance in hell.
Nope.
So, do we have a chance in hell in doing what Mohamed Sanu did?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I don't know where Mohamed Sanu was drafted in all this, but everyone's finding creative ways to stay busy. Apparently, he's got this thing called the Monarch Seeker, which everyone's seen the old school football jugs machine.
Yes. Yeah.
This one seems to be like a heat-seeking missile version of that, that also has like a turret-style like component on the back that just cycles footballs through. It's incredible to watch this thing work. But Mohamed Sanu was fielding punts shot over the top of his house.
So, wait, he wasn't shooting it, then running to the other side.
No.
Because that would be incredible.
Somebody was shooting the balls, they would come over his house, and he was basically catching punts.
It's like automated, though. It has it's got sensory ability, it looks like. But instead of a person having to feed the ball into the jugs machine, the thing on the contraption on the back of it just circles, loads the football up, and shoots it over the house.
It's a one-man thing.
So you see Mohamed Sanu with no ability to see the punt, and they got great video of one of his buddies running through the house to show where it shot and all that over to him catching it, which is impressive in a lot of ways because you're really flying blind on a lot of that one. So that is
our lesson plan for you guys. Get creative with how you train for the NFL season as part of our home Olympic trials in all of this. Send us videos at Golic and Wingo mm-hmm. of your most creative way to field a punt during all of this one. Be safe. Like, don't break any windows around your house. No. Muhammad
legal
Sanu,
disclaimer. Yeah, legal disclaimer.
Muhammad Sanu's got the technology to ensure that doesn't happen. You just have to require your own safety and your own use of knowledge in that one. It's part of our home Olympic trials brought to you by California Almonds with 6 grams of natural protein. Fuel your whatever day, every day with California Almonds.
I kind of like that, you know, so shooting it high over a house. Remember at the Pro Bowl when they were doing the different kind of fun things like they do
the drone drop.
They did the drone drop. Yeah, to have the guys try and catch it. That's very neat.
Well, one of the things we see a lot in practices in NFL and college teams is they send the linemen out there trying to catch punt.
No running.
Run.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have to do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying, right?
It's one of the most stressful situations they can put you in. And this is why I always have empathy to some extent. They're still kickers, but for kickers after practice, when a lot of times their made field goal in a pressure situation will be so the rest of the team doesn't have to condition. The kickers tend to get one chance because it's their job. The linemen, they'll usually, if you biff the first couple, put 3 or 4 fat guys up there, give everyone a real chance because everyone wants the feel good moment of watching a chubby guy catch one.
Man, you don't want to screw that one up. And sometimes celebrities, I remember Kenny Chesney did it for the Saints, good friends with Sean Payton. And I remember one time, I believe he had to catch a punt or a kickoff or something for the team not to run. So that's a lot of pressure, man.
It is a lot of pressure, but for an offensive lineman, it has to be so gratifying to finally be recognized for something good. Because offensive line, it's the worst. I mean, my son played, you played. It's the worst. You only are recognized when you screw up.
I loved it. I loved seeing that. Even though I know I'd have to run, I'd almost rather see an old lineman fall on their face like they usually would doing that.
You know what? But every once in a while, and you do it, and you go out there in pre-practice, you get acknowledged when special teams has those moments where as one of the front got up backs on kickoff return, you got to do it. Every once in a while, when you catch that one pure and just jut it off, ooh.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Ooh. Speaking of that, ooh, on Thursday, we'll have Dan Quinn, Damien Woody, and LaDainian Tomlinson. Be safe, everybody. See you tomorrow.